Did you hear that? Now, when y'all leave here today, I want you to act the same way. Shouting hallelujah. All right, today's our last installment in our series, Wise in Your Own Eyes. And it's about time. And here is my favorite, though most biting, secular song about time. Hit it, Bubba.
A child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking for I knew it. And as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. Just the other day, he said, thanks for the ball, Dad, come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today, I got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed and said, I'm gonna be like him. Yeah, you know I'm gonna be like him. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, the little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. Well, he came from college just the other day, so much like a man I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you, can you sit for a while? He shook his head and he said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is the bar of the car keys. See you later, can I have them, please? And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad. You know we'll have a good time then. Since retired, my son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids are the flu, but it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad. We're gonna have a good time there.
His wife actually wrote the poem. How many of you have never heard that song before? Anybody? Might be a couple of you, but it's very much a pop culture song. Every time I hear it on the radio, it makes me examine my life and the time. Last sermon in this series, Wise in Your Own Eyes, and we're going to talk about time as we look at time. That the whole issue in that song was time. Let's take a look at time. It's a resource that everybody is in possession of. We all possess time right now. Everybody has the same amount. So when we say to someone, well, I haven't got time or that, it in some sense that becomes a statement of self-centered arrogance, because it assumes one person's time is more valuable than another. It's of greater value than money in our society, wouldn't you say? Investment of time. It was created by God and was given to us as gift. We'll talk about that a little bit more. You will spend all the time you have. The question is, how will you spend it? And the final question is, and what will you do with your time? Now, here's some statements about us. Speaking of wise in your own eyes, you ever feel this way? I feel stressed most of the time. There are not enough hours in most days. I feel less productive than I used to feel most of the time. My patience with people is wearing very thin. I'm behind schedule. It's not fun anymore. Or maybe God seems rather distant. Any of those seven statements been true about you this week? Or maybe I ought to say, how many of them have been true about you this week? So, what then does God have to say about time, the issue of time? Well, first and foremost, your time is a gift from God. In Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. We're created, spoken into existence. We're breathed into existence. Just like, you know, New Testament talks about God's word is inspired. He used the word Greek concept, theopneustos. It's God breathed his word into existence. He breathed us into existence. And man became a living soul. He became something more than just a physical being. There's more to us than the physical, right? We're this body, mind, soul, spirit. We're this combination of all of this in this human, this fleshly container. And he placed us in time and space. You know, but before he creates man, and on that day, what did he call? He said, on the other days he says good. On this day he said it was very good. Very good. So very good on this day. But all that, before that, he's created time. And he puts man into time. Time is a creation of God. God is not victimized by time. You got that? That's some heavy-duty theology here on a weekend, a Sunday morning, that he's not victimized by time. Time is a creation of his, and he's placed us in it and has given it to us as a gift. We all get the same amount each day. Until he decides in his wisdom that our time is up. So we must see it as a gift, not a curse, not something that he gives more to one than he does to the other, but each day, the clock, the 24 hours, the rising and the setting of the sun. Have you ever... You ever thought why sunrises and sunsets are so interesting? Probably more pictures are snapped of sunrises and sunsets than any other thing. Have you ever thought of the reason for that? They're indicators of God and of time. It's his measuring of things and his marking of things. It's evidence of his work in the earth. Secondly, your time is fleeting. Oh boy, there's a lot of them I could have used on this one. But use this one from James. Yet, you do not know what tomorrow will bring. Do you know what tomorrow's going to bring? Have you had some surprises this past week? This past month? Any surprises? Things that I wasn't expecting. Where did that come from? What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Roy Sexton and I fish together from time to time, and one of the things that that I love when we go in the Canoochee River at daylight is that mist that is over the water and over the river. You can explain that scientifically about what with humidity and all, but that vapor that is there and you know, moving out into it, you know, you put the boat in and you move out into that and you feel it, but then so quickly, it's gone. James says that's what our lives are like. That's it. It's fleeting. I wonder who the youngest person in here is. I wonder who the oldest person in here is. You think about that. Now let me ask you. The older you get, does time seem to move faster? I mean, man, I used to hear my grandparents, they'd talk about the Depression, and most of what I know that is absolutely true, not the spin doctors of reinterpreting history, but the truth about what happened in those days, I know from them. I know a lot of facts about the Depression in this country because I listened to what they were saying. I tried to imagine what it was like. I remember them always saying, boy, time is just getting by. It's just like yesterday I remember this happening. I feel that myself. Right now I can remember things that happened when I was a child. In fact, looking at just about everybody's age in here that's younger than me, and that is probably most of you, at least three-fourths of you in here younger than me, I put myself in your place. What was I doing at that time? And how quickly? That's why Cat's in the Cradle. Okay? You know, when I hear that song, I think about me growing up with me and my dad, and now my dad in his twilight years, and time with him, how precious it is. But it was precious years ago, too. I think about my kids. My grandkids are coming this week. They're coming Wednesday night. Audrey and I are going to have them until Monday. And we can't wait. Time. We're going to try to cram in there. But at the same time, to just enjoy being with them, the time together. But it's fleeting and it vanishes and you don't get it back, do you? So how do you spend it? Number three. Your time has purpose. And I took this passage from Ecclesiastes, which is a great passage from Solomon. Hear what it says. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. Now get the wisdom of this. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal. Time to break down, time to build up. Time to weep, time to laugh. Time to mourn, time to dance. Time to cast away stones, time to gather stones together. Time to embrace, time to refrain from embracing. Time to seek, time to lose. Time to keep, time to cast away. Time to tear, time to sow. Time to keep silence, time to speak. Time to love, time to hate, time for war, time for peace, and knowing what time it is. So when I ask you, what time is it in your life right now? You have an answer for that. Well, you'll come a lot closer to having a real and a true answer for that if you get the truth that your time has a purpose. You believe that? Because you were put on this planet for a reason. That God has specific purpose for you. And it's all joined in with His purpose in creation. To know Him and make Him known. Where Jesus summarized the Law and the Prophets, He said, well, you know, what's the first thing? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the first commandment. And what's the second? And love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang it all. It's knowing Him, making Him known. It's having a relationship with Him and then seeing that others grow up and have a relationship with Him also. Now, our purpose is built into that. Our purpose as human beings, our purpose on this earth. Why God created us. Last weekend, a lot of things happened last weekend. But that Discovery Conference, several of you were in attendance. Robert Zacharias, the great apologist, probably the premier apologist in the West. And when I say that, I'm using the technical term for someone who is a defender of the faith. He's Indian, basically grew up in Canada, educated there as an engineer. God got a hold of his life, and man, the rest of history. He's been all over the world, done everything. He lectures basically in hostile environments. He'll go to secular university and make a lecture and then put himself out there on stage and do a Q&A. How about them apples? Would you do that? Whew! Man, you talk about winding your clock. And I love his lectures, but what I love even more is to watch him up there on stage, the impromptu Q&A. The reason why they were able to get Ravi Zacharias here for the weekend is because of an 87-year-old man who came to live here with his neurosurgeon son. Y'all know surgeon Dr. Kamalason in town? Several of you know Dr. Kamalason. Well, his daddy was once a mentor of Ravi Zacharias. In fact, judged Ravi in a preaching contest when Ravi was wet behind the ears and said a prophecy over him. Then he says, man, the Lord's got his hand on that young man. Samuel Kamalason, who is 87, I met him before the conference and was out there talking to him. Didn't realize he was going to lead one of the side conferences on mentoring. Imagine that, mentoring. And he's been a part of Ravi Zacharias' life. So, and the Lord spoke to me about him and said then, you need to get to know that guy. Well, later on, I was in his mentoring conference and it, Lord just got all over me. I mean, I was there, you know, kind of embarrassing. I'm weeping in there listening to this 87-year-old man. And so the next day I got went up to him, finally found him and asked him if I could take him to lunch. So Tuesday I spent several hours with him. Knew I was preaching this message on time about our purpose in life. Here's a man who's 87, who's not blinked. He knows what his purpose here is on this earth. And I think here, God has brought him all this time. He traveled for 30 years with World Vision. He himself was a veterinary surgeon, was trained in that, went on to get master's, doctor's degrees in theology, had traveled all the way, had been everywhere, done everything. And I'm sitting down talking to this guy about the Lord, and he's vitally interested in me. He never laid eyes on me until last Saturday afternoon. How can that be? Well, it can be when God knows what your when God shows you and you come in agreement with what His purpose is for your life. Getting that right and coming in agreement. Some of you younger folk who are here and you're, oh, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? I say one thing, get in line with Him. And all of that will take care of itself. Whatever job you happen to have, I know, well, I want to do this, but what does God want you to do? What has He got the plan out there for you? He'll give you the desires of your heart, but submit that to Him also. He's in agreement with you. He wants you to be all you can be. But you have to come in agreement with him. And you have to be wise in his eyes, not in your eyes, and know about the time of your life. What time are you in? And listen to his voice. What he's saying. Let me just make one statement here. Audrey and I had young children. Now, we spread the young children thing probably a little wider across the path than most people did, but which we enjoyed a lot. But that was not the time that I was going to be able to spend primarily on whatever hobbies I had in my life, because it was a time there were kids involved. They needed my time. Daddy didn't need to be away unnecessarily too much. He needed to be there with them as much as possible. You don't get that time back. I knew that God had called me to do what I was supposed to do right now. I'm not in angst over that issue in my life and haven't been. But when I was in college, I went to college, did my college here in Savannah, stayed here in Savannah and went to Armstrong. But I realized that my grandparents were getting older. I realized that when I left Savannah to go to seminary and wherever else God was going to take me, I didn't know where I was going to go. I didn't know where. In fact, when Audrey and I, we started dating, and I said to her, now, darling, part of the deal is, if you marry me, I can't guarantee where we're going to be in the earth. That's what you sign up for. And here was her statement, and continues to be her statement now, 40-something years later. We've been married 42, and we dated a year and a half before that. So she said, I'm on board just as long as wherever you go, I am with you. Now, is that not a definition of a helpmate? Made that commitment, and she's fulfilled her commitment to that. Some of my crazy ideas along the way, and then when she tells me that's a crazy idea, you know, she's had to do that very recently. Some things that in personal grooming and other things that I needed to hear from her, that only a wife could speak like that and speak in those authoritative terms, you know, with love. Yes, yes. Baptized in love. There's a time. There's a time for everything. Ecclesiastes, there's a time for, but in each case, it is God working out his purpose in your life and through you so that your life becomes a megaphone of his glory. Whatever it is, and you may not speak a word, but you're still proclaiming his glory by your life. Number four, your time will end. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, after that comes the judgment. There's only one codicil that I would add to this. You may not die if Jesus comes back for you. He comes back before then. Always like to add that because I am fully expecting to be alive when Jesus comes again. That's not just talk. I believe that. In my heart. That is my expectation, and that is how I am ordering my life. Your time will end. Your time on this, in this life, with this opportunity will end. It comes to an end, and you don't have that opportunity anymore. That's why it's precious. That's why every breath is precious. Every relationship is precious. Since Mom died, Dad has remembered numerous things that I never knew about. Where he's gone back, and he's given me details about things. It's wonderful. Wonderful to get those stories and to hear all of that. And then as his perspective on things and knowing that, hey, I mean, Dad takes 9 medications a day, and were he living in another generation, he would have already been dead, because without those medications, he would not live, for sure. But he is, and he's being a blessing. He calls me every day. I see him about every other day, try to see him as much so we can spend as much time together as possible. But he'll call me up and say, hey man, what you doing? And he'll repeat some of the same questions. He's realizing he's getting close to the finish line. And feeling that close to the finish line, he's feeling the importance of every conversation. Now back to my grandparents. When we left Savannah, I realized I may not see them again. So I tried to spend every moment that I could with them to ask them one more question that I hadn't heard about the family, because I want to know all that stuff because I love them. And I don't know when we're going to have that opportunity again. To think we have time ad infinitum is a lie. Your time will end. So here's some questions about it. Have you heard God speak to you today? Have you? I have. I mean, he's spoken to me through the message, because by the way, he gets to me before he gets to you with that. Second question. How will you spend the balance of the time God's given you? How are you going to spend it? What are you going to do with it? Man, there are a lot of songs, pop, country, soul, you know, rhythm and blues. You go, there are all sorts of songs that talk about time. What are you going to do with the balance of the time God has given you? You need to look at the life he has given you in that kind of stewardship. What will you do? Where do you want to? And I'm not talking about accomplishments, you know, how the world sees accomplishment. I'm talking about relationships. Audrey reminds me all the time, that junk you save, your 3 children are not interested in it. And let me tell you, my brother, who has a lot of junk in his house, went in the attic over, which a lot of my stuff is in the attic over our garage. And for him to say, Dust, you got a lot of junk up there. Woo! That's damning. What will you do with the balance of the time God has given to you? The relationships he's given you, the people, the things he set out for you to do while you were here. 3, what part does God play in the use of the gift this time he has given you? Well, there's something that is a commonality in all those statements, right? It begins with, number 4, isn't it time to simplify your time where you can notice what's going on? Our 3 children tease Audrey and I unmercifully. Can you imagine that? There's a pair of binoculars and in a basket, and under the binoculars by our back sliding glass door is a book about birds. You like that one, eh? I never paid attention to birds until a few years ago. We play all sorts of games. We look and we try to identify them. Sometimes we'll be on our back patio. I had my computer out there one day, and we were trying to recognize which bird we were hearing. So I found the one that I thought it was. It was a chickadee, and I found a chickadee song, a chickadee chirping. And Audrey said, turn it up, I can't hear. And I turned it up, and then it started playing like in an echo. I said, man, this computer I have is wonderful. It wasn't the computer. The chickadees were talking to the computer. And we started doing that with other birds in the backyard. Thought, man, this is neat. This is better than watching TV. This is fun. This is stuff you miss. All the things you miss as you walk by in life. The relationships. The people that are treasures. So often we think of relationships as stepping stones and not as the eternal relationships that God's given us on this earth. Number five, the final question. Will you be wise in your own eyes or wise in His? You get to choose. I want to invite you to do something this week. Now, I know you've got a schedule. I know that those of you that, you have a work schedule, those of you that are in school, moms and dads, schedule. Stop and look around you and ask God this question. God, what are you speaking to me about where I am? You've put me here. It's obvious. But for what reason? Cats in the Cradle, Silver Spoon, Little Boy Blue and the Man in the Moon. When you're coming home, Dad, don't know when. But we'll get together then. Damnable work. Our time is a gift from God. And maybe it's you stopping and listening with all your attention. And you might need some help to listen. There's a TV in every restaurant now. How many of you women are married to a man that is concerned about what score is happening on whatever sport that's going on? Will you raise your hand, please? Come on, put them up. I want to see. All right. So let me give you some Audrey advice today. Scan the restaurant or wherever you happen to be sitting. Look around. Make sure you sit on the side of the booth where you can see the scores and he can't. Because I'm telling you, when you get in the habit of watching that ticker line on the bottom, I can't even see it really very good, but I can see those scores. And when Audrey goes like this and says, I'm right here, I'm not up there. Time. I want to pray for you right now about your time. Some people would say, I don't have time for worship. Your time and your money preach the message about what's important to you. If you don't have time to gather with the body, what does that mean? That means something else has been plugged into that time. Means it's more important. More important. More important. Let's pray. Now, Lord, we come to you, all of us who stand on equal ground around the cross, people who say we belong to you, Jesus. I'm asking you that today, like it says in the New Testament, that we would redeem the time, that we would buy it back for your purposes in our lives and see the joy of all the things, Lord. The relationships, the people you have given us that are truly gifts to us. To see your creation that is a gift to us. To see the circumstances that you put at our door that are also a gift to us. Let us see it through your eyes. Let us spend the time wise in your eyes. In the name of Jesus. Do you receive this prayer? You receive this prayer. We'd like to get those cards from you, your tithes and offerings. We'll receive those now. All right. I'll leave you with this. What is the biggest distraction that you have in your life for your time? I took it out of my pocket. It's that cell phone. It is the one biggest distraction we have. Do not let it control your life. Take control of it. For you young parents, is what's on that screen more important than the face and voice of your child? Lord, I ask you now, send us out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm not decrying technology. I love it. But Lord, I want to baptize it for the Lord's purposes. So Lord, let us do that. Let us be wise people that live in this age and according with all of the technology. But Lord, let us redeem it. Let us buy it back for your purposes in the earth. So Holy Spirit, give us power to do that. Jesus, Son of God, baptize us fresh in your love. And our Father, Lord, let us go with your authority, your anointing on our lives. Amen. God bless you. I love you. Give somebody a hug. There's a few of you look like you could use a hug.